You're listening to Mind Sports Performance and Wellbeing, the evidence-based podcast that will seriously improve your game. Whether it's building self-confidence, enhancing resilience, or simply understanding how to handle pressure best, this podcast will help you. I'm Roberto Forzoni, a performance psychologist working with world and Olympic champions and a consultant with the BBC. Welcome. Self-talk, part 6. Thinking errors. Introduction. In the previous module, we looked at our inner voice, discussing the importance of being aware of the type of talk and the questions we most ask ourselves. We explored how, by simply changing the talk, and specifically the questions, we can improve our levels of confidence, motivation, and well-being. In the next few modules, we take a detailed look at the most common things we might say to ourselves when we're using negative self-talk, and specifically what we call thinking errors or irrational thoughts. We'll also explore some of the links between your self-talk and anxiety and depression, topics we'll explore in more depth in other programs. Negative or irrational thinking and anxiety. It's well known that people are affected by and respond in totally different ways to similar or even the same events. In fact, you might respond differently to the same event on different days, depending on what else is going on in your life at the time and what else is on your mind. Take, for example, a day when Jane, a parent, has a child who's unwell and she's trying to sort out things with a doctor's appointment. Her friend Sue passes by and mentions something that would normally irritate Jane, but Jane, although she clearly hears the comment, completely ignores it and carries on with getting her child sorted and pretty much forgets the comment. Jane's self-talk may have well revolved around, "My daughter's condition is important. Let me sort this out. Let me sort out what I need to do." And Sue's comment, even though Jane heard it and acknowledged it, was deemed irrelevant at the time. It became what I referred to earlier as noise. On another occasion, when the two ladies are having coffee, the same comment might be interpreted by Jane in a totally different way and be taken either as offensive or in a way that brings out a negative reaction or thought. These scenarios happen all the time with different interactions at home, work, and play. Your response or reaction to anything is directly related to the way in which you interpret the event within the context of what else is happening to you at the time, your perception of what happens and what it meant to you. Imagine a scenario, for example, where a tennis player is playing and sees a coach start to talk to her parents. The player might start to think straight away that the parents and coach are discussing a shot she's just missed and perhaps how she might lose the match after such an error. As a consequence of that thought, the player starts worrying and misses the next few shots, eventually losing the match convincingly. When speaking to her parents afterwards, the player asked what they were talking about, and they explained that the coach had asked if they'd watched a TV program the previous night. And the player was distraught. And I'll tell you something, this really happened with one of my clients. Now, imagine another player seeing exactly the same thing and thinking that her coach is telling the parents how well she's trained and overcome mistakes and challenges in her sessions that week. In that case, the player will be more energised and goes on to win the match comfortably. The same scenario, totally different outcomes. Why? Because in each case, the player made an assumption that led to an emotional response. In fact, both assumptions were wrong, but crucially, one assumption made the player feel bad, the other one made the player feel in a good frame of mind. These are classic examples of thinking errors. At this point, I'd say that if you were going to make an assumption, make it the positive one. You'll feel much better for it, even if that assumption was wrong. Note that in a tennis player example, the event was exactly the same, but because it was interpreted or perceived differently, the way each player felt was completely different. I was recently going to an event and started to think about someone I didn't want to see and wondering how I might confront him if I did see him. Literally, within moments, I had pictured so many negative scenarios, I was actually getting angry, annoyed and frustrated, and had to remind myself that the person was most unlikely to be there. And in fact, he wasn't there at all. These examples clearly show the link between thinking and feeling, And now, what we say to ourselves following an event or even a thought can lead to certain negative emotions, which subsequently affect how we behave. How many times have you jumped to the wrong conclusion when something happens to you? Or more to the point, when you thought something might happen to you? Negative thoughts and depressed moods. When people feel depressed, they have a particular way of thinking about themselves, others and the world that can further trigger or worsen their experience of depression. So depression can cause them to think negatively. This thinking is very often both unfair and unrealistic. The thinking is unfair because negative events are given so much more significance than positive ones, or the positive ones are ignored pretty much completely. This also means that most of the time, this way of thinking is totally unrealistic, and so things seem much worse than they actually are and take on either a bigger meaning than they should or a totally incorrect meaning, as in the case of our two tennis players or my own personal experience earlier. This unfair and unrealistic thinking affects the way we make sense of events and situations. For example, you might think in a very critical fashion or judge yourself in a harsh or unfair manner. The so-called bad things you've done become very obvious to you, and conversely, you have a hard time remembering anything good. This type of thinking is typified by self-talk such as, "I'm so useless, I'm just a complete failure." You might often see life in an unrealistic, pessimistic way, emphasising the negative things or the threatening aspects and ignoring the more positive or promising events. Self-talk here is typically along the lines, "My situation is terrible and there's nothing I can do about it." Or you might see the future that is bleak and disappointing and you expect the worst to happen. Self-talk here is along the lines of, "This will never get better. It'll probably only get worse." These thoughts are unhelpful because they're not accurate thoughts about you, the current situation, and the future. They're also pretty automatic. They seem to appear out of nowhere, and they're not the result of reasoning or decision-making. Sometimes they're so automatic that they're difficult to spot. Unfortunately, these thoughts can also be believable, and as a result, there seems to be very little reason to doubt them. So, to summarise this module, we started looking at the way you think and what we call thinking errors. These are typified by the way we speak to ourselves. We saw how much our negative talk can almost be on autopilot and we end up believing these thoughts because we say them so often. By understanding these errors and the consequence of this way of thinking, you'll start to check your self-talk and attach different and more useful meaning to what happens to you. As a consequence of challenging these thoughts and starting to think more rationally, you'll take great strides towards improving your general well-being. In the next module, we start to look at the different types of thinking errors. Your mind activity today, I'd like you to start analysing the way you think and the things you say to yourself when certain events happen. Try and see what thinking errors you might make. In particular, notice the most common negative thoughts you think about, whether they're thoughts about you, colleagues, or the world in general. By the end of this program, you'll have plenty of skills to stop the negative and irrational thoughts, and you'll be able to replace them with thoughts that not only enhance your confidence, but will lead to a better life satisfaction and well-being. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Mind Sports Performance and Wellbeing podcast. Can I ask two things from you? Firstly, please like and subscribe the podcast as this helps us get noticed. Likewise, if you can share the podcast with friends who might also benefit, I'd really appreciate it. The more attention the podcast gets, the more information I can bring to you. Thank you and enjoy.